The Old Testament reading for Lent 5 is Isaiah 43, verses 16 through 21. Isaiah 43 is part of a larger section that has become increasingly attractive to me, chapters 40 through 48, because in them, it seems to me, God sort of puts himself on trial, as it were, and yet through it all, you know, insists that he alone is Israel's God, the one who orders and controls the affairs of all the whole world, all nations. And so it's an appeal by God to his people to remember who he is, that he's the one who has created them, has established them as a people, has watched over them, even when he's had to discipline them, that his devotion to them is something that never wavers. And the verses that are part of the Old Testament reading for Lent 5 are ones that, that again, sort of reassert Yahweh's his past activity as the promise and prospect for what he will do. So verse 16, Ko Amar Yahweh, typical speech formula, thus says the Lord, or Yahweh, Hanothain Bayam Darek, Uvamayam Azizim Nativa. Yahweh, who gives in or through the sea a way, and in or through waters, mighty waters, a path. Certainly in the way in or through the sea, already Red Sea crossing is evoked and become is a reminder. And the next verse or continues to pick up on that. Hamotzi rekev vasus chayl v'izuz yachdal, who brings out or brought out a chariot and horse, and chayl and izuz, both of those are pretty largely either adjectives ordinarily or more along the lines of kind of abstract nouns like strength and so forth. Some of the versions, English versions, do things like army and warrior, but it's the idea of those things which belong to human strength, especially in a military way, and Yahweh brings, along with chariot and horse, brings those things sort of out together, yachdal. Which is also something of an echo of the Song of the Sea in Exodus 15. Continuing verse 17, Yishkavu bal yakumu, da'aku kapishta kavo, kavu. They, those things that were mentioned in the first part, the chariot and horse and all of the warriors and so forth, they lie down, they do not get up. They either are extinguished or go out like a flax or like a wick. And recall that in the first of the servant songs, Isaiah 42, it talks about how the servant comes and will not put out a dimly burning flax or wick, but here the might of the nations, or the might certainly of Egypt, even though it's not mentioned by name, that their strength goes out like a wick. And then to sort of punctuate that, kavu, the root kava, also means to extinguish or go out. So it just sort of doubles that up. They go out like a wick. They're done. They're extinguished. Verse 18, Al tizkeru rishonoth v'kadmonioth al tithbonanu, do not remember former things, and kadmonioth is another, kedem it has to do with the east, with former, prior, kinds of things, so it's paralleled with Rishon, also former things or things of the past. Do not consider them. And it's just kind of interesting with this hithpolal of being that you have, there's something of an iterative idea that often gets brought along with hithpael, hithpolal, hithpolal, those conjugations, so that it's something along the lines of sort of thinking back and forth. So it's don't sort of mull over those past things anymore. Don't keep trying to unpack them. Why? Verse 19. Hini oseh chadasha. Behold, or look here, look at me, I am doing a new thing. Ata titzmach. Halo teduha. Now it springs forth or out. Tzamach, often used in a plant kind of image for plants that sprout and grow. And then the question, smoothly, I suppose, don't you or can't you know it or perceive it, understand it? Yada is typically translated no, and yet it is sort of the appropriation of things here, being able to see what's going on. And hine here with the first singular common pronominal suffix, hine plus a participle is variously translated. Sometimes the participle is simply translated as a present. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Sometimes the English versions will project it farther into the future, like I will do a new thing. And at other times, they sort of split the difference and do something on the order of I am about to do a new thing. The idea being that while it's either in progress, just on the brink of unfolding, or could be projected sometime farther into a still yet to be determined future. And of course, with Yahweh, all things are present. He knows he's doing it, even if for Israel it remains to be sort of revealed or demonstrated. Continuing, Ach Asim Bamidbar Derek Bishimon Neharoth. Surely I will set in the desert away. And notice here that in verse 16 it talked about Yahweh having given a way through the sea. Now we have it a land way in the desert. And in desolate place, streams. And BHS apparatus points there to the Dead Sea Scrolls. Qumran has Netivot. And so what they're doing is kind of reading back to verse 16, where it was making a way through the sea and through the mighty waters a path. They're just sort of echoing that. But the stream, the water-giving imagery of working in the dry land is important to what comes next. Verse 20. Tekabdenu deni chayat hasadet tanim uvanoth ya'na. The beast of the field will, or the living thing of the field, beast of the field, will glorify me. And then, sort of appositional to this beast of the field, jackals, tanim, and a really sort of unusual phrase, uvanoth ya'na, refers to ostriches. And it's that combination is just a really sort of an unusual one, and just consistently done that way. So again, jackals and ostriches, animals from not the sort of the arable fields, but from more in terms of waste places. Kinathati bamidbar mayim nehoroth bishimon. For I give or have given in the desert water, streams in the desolate or waste place. For this purpose, lahashkoth ami bechiri, to cause my people to drink, my chosen one. 21, amzu yatsarti li tihilati yisaperu. A people or the people, and zu is associated with ze, the demonstrative this, but also can be used as a relative pronoun. So it's either this people which, or a people which I formed for me, for myself, toward this purpose, in order that they may tell, recount the peal of Safar, my praise. Okay, so there's the text. At the beginning of chapter 43, just to rehearse some of the things I mentioned earlier, Yahweh is introduced or introduces himself as Israel's creator and preserver. And he insists that the people have been witnesses to his works and how those works attest to his faithfulness. So the big thing is that God is trying to impress himself on his people as to his faithfulness, and that he will never leave nor forsake them, even if their circumstances are very dire and it looks like they would want to ask, where has God gone? We see how the first couple of verses recall the Red Sea crossing and the vanquishing of Egypt, but those are to be sort of the paradigm for this new thing that Yahweh will do, which will overshadow the Exodus events as he makes a way in the wilderness for his people. For Isaiah's people, some sort of return potentially from exile, whether that is exile or sort of separation to places like Egypt or Assyria or eventually Babylon. But for us who live in the new era, it points to what is about to take place at the culmination of the Lent season in God's giving his own son. And yet at all points, and kind of living in what I guess is part of our postmodern American environment, the issue is that it is the one God of the universe, the God of all, who is the God who sends Jesus to be the salvation, our salvation from sin. And that in a world that is all too confused about how to identify God and what sorts of things belong to his character and nature, the insistence of this text is that there is no God but Yahweh, and he acts for the blessing and benefit of his people.